So, soapbox sermons, we have a couple of them, and be very gracious and welcoming of our people, because not everyone is trained in public speaking and gets to do it every week and be desensitized to it. So we have two brave souls. Stephen, you want to come up? He's the first one. Please welcome him. So here's how trusting we are. I don't even know what he's going to talk about. In fact, I asked him, and he dodged the question. So it's his soapbox. So we just asked him to share something he was interested in. So take it away.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. As Dustin mentioned, my name is Stephen. My wife and I have been attending Imago for the last 5 or 6 years. Michelle, we started down in the Gateway Building and have been attending ever since. We also have two kids. Sydney, who's about 3 years old, and then Winnie's about a year and a half, and they spend most of their weeks in the nursery, so if you've ever volunteered there or been a part of that, you probably cross paths with them. And recognizing that this is somewhat of an intimidating position to be in, I guess I just want to set the stage by saying these are things that I'm still kind of working through, things that have been kicking around in my head, specifically the last couple weeks, but even the last few months and even years. And what better way, you kind of set this well for me, Dustin, to make it even more intimidating than to simply ask for a suggestion from the congregation? Anything at all? Anything from the audience? A phrase, a word, what do you got? Just anything that comes to mind. Wow, this group is never this silent. Just anything. What's at the forefront of your head? Blessed Song. Okay. I'm not going to do a soapbox sermon on the Blessed Song, but I do appreciate the back and forth. I asked and you responded. That's great. What's a more honest question? Have you heard that phrase before, that question pop up in any context? The phrase, can I get a suggestion from the audience? Man, you guys are quiet. Whose line is it anyway? Great. Improv, right? So if you've ever been involved with an improv group or seen an improv show, that's kind of the go-to line, right? So if you've been to Improv Olympic, Second City in Chicago, The Groundlings, Upright Citizen Brigade, all of those opportunities for improv, they usually start with that sort of question. And the idea is you have a bunch of performers up on stage, they get the suggestion from the audience, and they take that suggestion and they build a scene, they build characters, relationships, and they have a story. And usually it's a bunch of quick-witted individuals, people who are pretty hilarious, and so usually have a night of entertainment from that. So back up my story a little bit. Right out of college, or I grew up doing community theater, performing in shows and some projects in town. So I rolled the dice, went to LA, got my car packed up, went out there. And one of the first things that I did when I got out to Los Angeles was to get involved with an improv group. It was a small group in Westwood, California, which is right by UCLA's campus. And one of the reasons I wanted to do it is I really wanted to stretch myself. I'm a very, very much a person that gets in my head a lot. I fight these battles of a thought. I overthink things. My wife is here, so she can attest to that. I worry a lot. That's another component of me getting in my head. And so I wanted to stretch myself. And one of the first things that I did was get involved with this improv group, and that was kind of my community. That was the people that I made friends with, the people that I saw on a regular basis, weekly, several times a week sometime. And one of the people that I met when I was out there was this individual by the name of Gian Molina. No relation, if you were wondering. But Gian, larger than life personality, right? Big smile, hilarious guy. And so when I was asked to do a soapbox sermon, this was right before Christmas, I got in my head and I immediately thought of about 100 things that I should say no to regarding that and not do it and just pass. But I was kind of in a mindset that when I got the request, I went ahead and said yes. And part of the reason is in improv, the idea is that you don't think too much. You just kind of jump in and you do it. You react. And about 24 hours before that request, I unfortunately got the news that Gian, due to some medical complications, had passed away. So that was my mindset. That's where I was at. I was very reflective, contemplative, pensive, even more so than I normally am. And so I said, sure. And then my wife asked me 5 minutes later, what are you going to talk about? I said, I have no idea. And so I continued on this line of improv and this idea that there's opportunities to just try to react and be present in the moment, right? Part of improv is that you try not to think too far ahead about where the story's going, can derail the scene, derail the interaction, or worry too much about in the past, the things that have happened before, which could also derail you. So I was trying to figure out a way to visualize this even better, articulate even better. And for a guy who loves movies and TV, I have young kids now, so I don't watch nearly as much as I used to, but maybe that'll change as I get a little bit older. I went to this clip immediately. It's a clip we're going to show here in a second. You've probably seen it before. Some of you will recognize it right away. Others maybe not, but it's appropriate for church. I never thought I'd show a clip from this movie in a church setting, but it's appropriate for kids, I think. The whole movie maybe not, but this particular clip I think is fine. So if we have the video queued up, if you can go ahead, and we're going to show it, and then we're going to talk about it here in a second.
Have you found them yet?
No, Lord Helmet. They're still not on the scanner.
Well, keep looking for them.
Pardon me, sir. I have an idea. Corporal, get me the video cassette of Spaceballs the movie.
Yes, sir.
It's a little dated.
Producers, 12 chairs, blazing cells, young Frankenstein.
Colonel Sanders, may I speak with you, please?
Yes, sir. How can there be a cassette of Spaceballs the movie? We're still in the middle of making it.
Oh, that's true, sir. But there's been a new breakthrough in home video marketing.
There has?
Yes. Instant cassettes. They're out in stores before the movie is finished.
Nah.
Here it is, sir. Spaceballs.
Good work, Corporal. Punch it up. Not much too early. Prepare to fast forward.
Preparing to fast forward.
Fast forward.
Fast forwarding, sir.
Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Try here. Stop.
What the hell am I looking at? When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now, now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
How soon?
Sir.
What?
We've identified their location.
Where?
It's the moon of Vega.
Good work. Set a course and prepare for our arrival.
When?
1900 hours, sir.
By high noon tomorrow, they will be our prisoners.
Oh!
Well, there you have it. Spaceball shout out. You kind of see where I'm getting at. You see where I'm walking here a little bit. I think there's moments in our life, right, where we have day-to-day interactions. We get involved with the mundane. And if we can just pause and we can get to that moment where they're going back and forth about just being in the now. So you pull back a little bit and you recognize that whatever's happening, whether the conversation, the experience, the interaction, that's happening right now. And not worrying too much about tomorrow or what happened at work the day before or the morning before. But trying to be in that now. And again, the lens that I'm looking through right now, at least as a 36-year-old father of two, married, living in Peoria, is this idea that there's moments happening all the time. And if I am not in the now, if I'm not recognizing what's happening now, there's things that I'm going to miss, right? As the video kind of alluded to. And that happens a lot. Like people with kids or grandkids, you're kind of watching your kid from a distance and you see them learn something new for the first time. Right? Or they experience something and you're like, wow, they just did that on their own and I was able to be a part of that and be present. So from a practical standpoint for me, the thing, again, I don't have it all figured out, but that I'm working towards is turning off the TV, right? Putting the phone away, not flipping through Facebook for 15 minutes. Usually when I'm doing my business, everybody does that, right? Everyone sits on the can and like, okay, I'm not the only one. That's way too much information than you need to know. But I know there's other guilty parties in here too. And the idea, I guess, is just trying to be in that moment. And taking it back to improv a little bit, there's this idea of trust, right? So you have individuals that you're up on stage with and you're trusting them to have your back and they're trusting you to propel the scene forward. And so as I was trying to tie this back to scripture, because I'm pretty sure Spaceballs isn't the one thing I'm supposed to be showing today in church, there's this verse that I committed to memory a long time ago. And it's a verse that kind of keeps popping up from time to time. It's the idea of trust. And I showed my colors a little bit in terms of the things that I worry about, especially more so now as a parent, right? You kind of feel in a vulnerable situation as a parent. But it's Proverbs, and I think it's the next clip here, and it's trusting in the Lord your God with all your heart and not, leaning not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledging him, and he'll make your path straight. So again, trust, right? The idea that everything about you is trusting that God, whatever path you're on, that God's there with you and not on your own understanding, right? The head component, the things that I trap myself into sometime, trying to think through, well, how can this be rationally? Or like, again, that battle that we have in our head. And understanding, but in all of your ways, and everything that you do, and every encounter, every interaction, acknowledge him, saying, you know, God, your will be done, right? Thy will be done in this situation, and he'll make your path straight. And so for me, that's kind of the go-to that I've been circling back to. And it's really easy, right? When things are going well, this verse is awesome, right? When things are clicking and everything's working for you, you got that promotion or family, things are going great. This is a really hard verse when things aren't going so well, right? When you're dealing with grief or sadness and you're not really understanding why is this happening, right? So you go to your head and you try to figure out rationally and you just can't. And so again, this idea that I believe it's true, you know, and the good and the bad, it's just navigating that and surrounding yourself with community and people and friends, family members that you can rely on to make that happen. And so I think that's a verse that I go to. And the thing that I love about Imago is the idea that you come as you are, right? And there's this maturation process that comes in play. There's a lot of intelligent people in this room. That's something I really appreciate about that. The conversations, the challenges, the thought processes that come into play as it relates to our spiritual walk and journey. And the lens that I'm currently looking through life right now, again, as a 36-year-old father of two and with wife and a family, that lens is going to change when I'm 45, right? And 55, because of life experiences, conversations that you have, the opportunity to share more and learn more. And I think Charlie articulated this really well last week, right? The Jimmy Eat World example that he provided, right? The Jimmy Eat World 15 years ago when they were making music, the core of who they are is still the same, right? The type of music that they play, probably similar, but they're looking through it at a different lens. And so they've grown up, I think is the word that he used or the phrase that he used. And I think that's going to continue to happen as you go on your spiritual journey and as you walk in community with other people, that there's that maturation that takes place. And it's not always easy. There's things that I think we as a church have been challenged by, conversations that have been had. And another quote that I'll put up here in just a second on the eve of Martin Luther King is one that I shared with Charlie about this time either last year or 2 years ago. And when it's really hard, there's this idea that you got to keep moving forward. And tying it back to that improv scenario, the scene keeps going, right? So once the suggestion from the audience comes up, you get going, the characters start happening, and you got to keep going until the end of the show or the end of the scene. And if you can flip to the next slide here, I love this quote, and I think it's more fitting now than probably any other time, I guess in my lifetime. It's the idea, if you can't fly, then you run. If you can't run, then you walk. If you can't walk, then you crawl. But whatever you do, you got to keep moving forward. And that's hard sometimes, right? So again, you surround yourself with community and people who you can rely on, have tough conversations with, but you keep moving forward. I didn't do this on purpose, but I was looking at this after I sent these slides. That's not a picture of me, by the way. I'm not walking down a road. I noticed from the back end, it's not me, but it was one of those Google searches that was one of the first ones that came up. But I love this quote, and I think, again, on the eve of Martin Luther King and all the progress that's been made through the last 60 years or plus, you just got to keep going. And there's going to be challenges, and there's going to be successes, but you just keep moving forward. I'm circling the plane here. I'm almost done. I don't want to take too much of Eric's time. But as I was in that contemplative mode with my buddy Gian, the guy that I knew for 3 or 4 years when I was living in Los Angeles, as happens, you connect with people that you haven't heard from in a long time. You get texts. You have conversations. You look at videos or photos. And for most pop songs, there's an official music video, right? There's this idea of you know, you put it out there and there's an official music video made. And I was reminded, looking through some of these things, that, and I think it's so fitting for Gian, a guy who brought laughter and smiles and comedy to people almost on a nightly basis when he was living in Los Angeles. He's actually one of the featured people in Pharrell's Happy video. So if you, I'm not going to show it today, but if you look it up, there's a couple quick shots of Gian and he's dancing down the street. And it put a smile on my face knowing that, again, an individual had so much impact in that capacity. And that's what I really like about this series that we're on. If you tune in, we're going to do lyrics and song. I think there's so much power behind meaning behind song and words. And, you know, I'm excited about where it's going. I have a feeling Charlie's not going to one-up me on the Spaceballs clip, so I might have him on that one. But I'm excited about where it's going because I think music has that powerful way of transporting you to certain areas, to certain mindsets. And so I was going to actually just say this one because this is the song that we used to sing quite a bit when Zach Fletterer, if you remember Zach and Lise, that we would sing. And it's kind of just, I don't know if it's my prayer, but it's something that I think about a lot, especially in the age that we are now and with all the things going on. And I'll just leave it with that. I'll kind of end on that. I don't know what key it even started, but guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. That's my prayer. Thanks.
I told you we have brave souls around here. Thank you, Stephen. All right, Eric, come join us for Soapbox Sermon number 2. What I love about Soapbox is, well, I never know what to expect, but also we get a lot of good variety. So Eric's he's a leader on our ministry team and been a good friend to me. In fact, I forgot to do the introduction. So, Stephen, thank you for introducing yourself. So when I interviewed, the night I came to interview for the job of associate pastor, Eric met me for dinner. So he was one of the first Imago people I met. So anyway, take it away, Eric.
Thank you. Yeah, like Dustin said, my wife Amber and I have been coming here for 7 years or so. But this is my first time up here. I actually just got asked to do this like 3 days ago by Eric Potter, because he's the worst. I think even worse is they matched me up with someone who not only has a lot of wisdom, but training in improv. So thanks, Stephen. So, like I said... Oh, you're safe on that one. I'm barely going to be able to say words, let alone sing them. So on Friday, Eric Potter told me he wanted me to do a soapbox, and I could do it on anything I wanted. Since I only had a little bit of time to prepare for today, we're going to have to limit it to evolution, marriage equality, which way the toilet paper roll goes on the roll, the Electoral College, the death penalty, and why the Hobbit movies should have never been made. So there'll be a short intermission halfway through, and you can go to the restroom, check my sources, things like that. No, I'm just kidding, except about the death penalty part. We actually are talking about that. So to start with, to give some background on this, I used to think the death penalty was rarely used, humane. It was cheaper to the taxpayer than imprisoning someone for their entire life, and ultimately necessary in certain cases. Edge cases, but sometimes nonetheless. I thought verses like this, this is Exodus 21 and Romans 13, kind of told the whole story. This is when you think death penalty, you think things like this. At least I did, and still do. But I think some of the things I thought, after learning more, aren't really true. We've executed people who are later found to be innocent numerous times. Capital punishment is disproportionately used against people of color. That's just a fact. There's the numerous studies that the race of both the victim and of the perpetrator has a huge likelihood a huge effect on whether or not someone gets tried for the death penalty or convicted. It's significantly more expensive to the taxpayer. That's pretty low on my list of concerns to compare to some of this other stuff, but I mean, that's just not much of a argument. And it's recently been found that lethal injection, which I always kind of considered to be the most humane, civilized type of execution, is not that humane. It can cause a lot of suffering when done correctly, and it's not always done correctly. I'm not going to get into all the specifics of the last few years. They changed the chemicals due to availability, and it just isn't working great. This is a graph of the number of executions since 1976. Prior to that, it was actually unconstitutional, according to the Supreme Court, for a time, and it was 76 when they reversed that and made capital punishment legal again. So, a few years ago, I started to think about this more, mostly due to the writings of Shane Claiborne. I know some of you have read books by him and stuff, and this is kind of one of his things now that he really goes after and is constantly protesting in D.C. and stuff for this and organizing that. Prior to that, I hadn't given it much thought. I had never interacted with someone who was, I mean, who it was real for. And honestly, I trust Shane Claiborne. I thought he made a good argument, which is almost a whole other topic I almost talked about instead. Now I'm kind of wishing I did, is how we form our opinions and things like that. But I thought his exegesis of the different things was good, so I started to look into it more, but it still didn't really become real until I read a book called Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson last year. I know a few other people have read that here. And Brian's a lawyer who started the Equal Justice Initiative and has spent his career challenging bias against the poor and minorities in the criminal justice system, especially in children. And thanks largely to the work of Brian and his initiative, the Supreme Court has recently banned the death penalty for minors. I don't mean recent, like in this big picture kind of way, like 2005. It was legal to kill teenagers, minors, up until 2005. And he's also got a couple other Supreme Court cases that he's won that have, I think, been progress. He's also helped exonerate numerous innocent death row inmates. So think Making a Murderer, but with the death penalty and a lot more paperwork. And I forgot to mention this earlier, but there's actually been over 150 people who were on death row and then were exonerated before they were killed, and several more who were killed before they were exonerated. So I do think the verses I shared at the beginning are important, but contrasted with the Gospels and the overall story and life of Jesus, that's just not good enough for me. This doesn't necessarily... Like he said, this is a soapbox, and I took that very literally. I'm on a soapbox. This is a quote from Just Mercy. I forgot this slide. You don't have to read all that, but I do recommend you read the book because it's heartbreaking and amazing. This is the verse that I go to now when I think of it, instead of the one from Exodus that says, eye for an eye, hand for a hand, tooth for a tooth. I think this one from the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. And then it goes on from there is the more famous part. So I'm sure some of you have been listening to this, and I've already started to think of the obvious connection to the recent news. On Tuesday, Dylan Ruff was sentenced to the death penalty, despite Mother Emanuel AME Church and several of his victims' families asking for mercy. For him, not to let him go, but not to execute him. They decided to do so anyway. No one would have blamed them for being the loudest voices calling for his execution, calling for more death. But they chose a harder, and I think better in the long run for themselves and for everyone, path. To kind of sum up, I mean, this is this is a no fun thing to talk about, but they said, talk about anything I want, and I'm weird, I guess. But so I just went in on, we're 5 days from having a leader who, when asked his favorite Bible verse, said, eye for an eye. Just that. So instead of getting into all that, I just want to look at that as an opportunity to respond with, you have heard it said, and move from just eye for an eye to something a little bit better than that, I think. So thank you. If anyone would like to talk about this or fight me in real life or whatever, talk to me afterwards. I'm happy to get coffee or send links or sources or read books with you, but I don't know, this was on my heart, and with a little bit of preparation and nervousness and preacher's gut, which is a real thing, this is what you get. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Eric's a good person to fight with because he strives to be a pacifist, so it's an easy win. So anyway, yeah, he has lots of thoughts. He's a very thorough researcher, and he's very thoughtful. And if you've had any conversations with him about any controversial subject, there's chances are he's given a lot of deep thought to it. So go ahead and take him up on his offer.